Hello and welcome back for another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Amber Blackburn.
Amber's desire to help others led her to a career as a registered nurse. When her own health concerns, however, forced Amber to retire early due to disability, she started a website called theworldseesnormal.com. Through her website, Amber continues to help others with chronic illness via education and awareness.
On today's show, Amber is here to talk with us about hemiplegic migraines. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today, Amber.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Very
great. I feel like any time I am able to share any part of my story, I am thrilled because so many people listening may realize that the symptoms they are having are not normal and they are not alone in this, and then they may be able to seek help for what's going on.
That's the idea.
Absolutely. That can be very comforting.
Amber, we've talked about migraines on the show before, but could you please tell us what are hemiplegic migraines?
Hemiplegic migraines are their own beast. It is a migraine, but it's a rare form of migraine, according to the American Migraine Association, where people actually experience weakness on one side of their body, meaning hemiplegia. In addition to the migraine headache, the weakness is a form of migraine aura and occurs with other forms of typical migraine aura, like change in vision, speech, or sensation. Hemiplegic migraines are generally divided into two types. Either familial hemiplegic migraines, which would run in your family, or the kind that I have, which is sporadic hemiplegic migraines, and only happens in one individual. This is a very rare type of migraine. So if you ever experience new or never evaluated weakness, along with your headache, you need to immediately seek medical care and not assume that you're just having a hemiplegic migraine, because it could be other things. Both familial and sporadic hemiplegic migraines often start in childhood, and the process to diagnose these migraines can be difficult, as symptoms often mimic stroke, seizures, or a handful of other conditions. And in order to diagnose, it requires a full neurological workup, including imaging of the brain and vessels in the head, like a CAT scan, an MRI, and even an EEG to rule out seizures.
Okay.
And confirm the diagnosis necessary of a hemiplegic migraine. Family medical history is especially helpful in diagnosing a familial hemiplegic migraine. In my case, there is no family history, so we had to go through the long diagnostic process.
So, Amber, in the main difference between a headache and a hemiplegic migraine, is that just weakness on one side of the body?
Yes and no. That is one of the symptoms which sets it apart. Besides the motor weakness on one side of the body, the hemiplegia, like you asked about, there is also the headache, but there can be other typical aura symptoms like changes in vision, where you see sparkles or shimmers or visual field defects. You could have numbness and tingling and trouble speaking. There could be a fever or impaired consciousness ranging from confusion to profound coma. I'm going to insert a little story here to
sure.
Kind of
that always helps.
This. On one of the many trips to the ER, when I was first having these, when my brain just was not working, I was very confused. I saw a man on the road running, which to a normal person, we'd know that he's running. I looked at my mom and I said, "Why is that man running?" She said, "He's jogging." I said, "But what's chasing him?" And she said, "No, honey, he's running for fun." And I was like, "Oh, why would he do that?"
I still feel that way too,
yes.
Me too, but I just could not get it through my head.
That somebody would run for fun. Right. Wow.
So, anyway, and then you can also experience ataxia, which is a loss of full control of body movement. It's also defective muscles, coordination. You can have nausea and vomiting, phonophobia, which sensitivity to sound, photophobia, which is a sensitivity to light. you can have so many different sensations and symptoms with a hemiplegic migraine.
So a person might have any or all of those symptoms during a migraine?
Yeah. Well, and what symptoms you may have with this migraine might not happen again with the next migraine, hemiplegic migraine. I can kind of compare it to having the flu. You have the flu this time, your body aches, you're nauseous, your head hurts, you have a fever. You get it again next year, you just have a sore throat and a fever.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of like a hemiplegic migraine. For me, no two hemiplegic migraines are ever alike.
Okay.
That makes it challenging.
Yeah.
It does.
Could you describe what happens when you have one yourself? Do you first notice that there's going to be symptoms ahead of time, like a regular migraine might have an aura before the migraine?
I have gotten better at noticing them over the years. Now I notice more than anything that my hands will start to tingle.
Okay.
Which wouldn't seem like much, but if I already have to have a headache. It doesn't just start from nothing. If I already have a headache and my hands start to tingle, I know I'm in trouble.
Okay.
And so that's my big aura, which doesn't sound like much, but for me, that's just what I've noticed. And it will slowly, the tingling will slowly work its way up my arm into numbness and proceed into a hemiplegic migraine.
Okay. All right. And then how long did it take for you to get a diagnosis?
It was actually pretty quick for me because the first time I had my my hemiplegic migraine, I was actually working.
Oh, good. Good, right place to be.
Yes.
Yeah. I was in the main hospital and I had a headache that day, which was not abnormal because I have a lot. And I started noticing that my arms were tingling. At first, I ignored it because sometimes my Topomac can make a couple of my fingertips kind of tingle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, it's just my Topomac. But it progressed up my hand and then up my arm to my elbow. And so I called my mom because she's my biggest advocate and supporter. And all I could get out was, "Mom, something's wrong."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Excuse me?
Wow.
Something's wrong."
Wow.
And so my coworkers overheard and they went and grabbed the phone and they said, "She had a headache and now this is happening. We're going to take her down to the ER."
Mm-hmm. Right. Did they think that you were having a stroke?
Yes.
Okay.
So they took me down to the ER and at first they just put me in a regular hall bed and decided to do the assessment and the CAT scan right away. But then they started noticing that beyond the slurred slow speech and the tingling numb arm, that my right side was drooping.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you put your arms out in front of you, if mm-hmm. you've ever done like a neuro test,
right.
they're supposed to stay equal. My right arm would droop down. My right leg would like fall down.
But that would also indicate a stroke.
Right.
Right. And so at this time, my 15-year-old sister had showed up because my mom couldn't get away from work, and neither could my dad. She was home on spring break, so they sent her up just to kind of be there until one of them could get there.
Okay.
And so this is the time when they rushed me into one of their trauma bays.
Okay.
Because, and called the stroke protocols, the stroke
right.
team.
Right.
And then I came back from the CT, and I see her face, and she's just about to lose it because there's at least 8 to 10 nurses starting 2 or 3 IVs. There's 2 doctors, there's a pharmacist, they're all asking me questions, and I'm talking like I was just talking to you, so it's taking me forever to get any answers out. And the doctor starts talking to me about starting this clot buster through my IV, which they're going to have to put me in ICU for because they're positive that I'm having a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally looked at Caitlin, and all I could get out was, "Call Mom."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
The doctor knew I was a nurse. He looked at me and he said, "How old are you?" I said, 31. He's like, "And you want me to call your mother?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yes." And so he called her and talked everything over for him. And she told him it was fine to go ahead and start the medication. And they weren't far behind. And so I was in ICU for 24 hours, hooked up to the clot buster. But then they decided that it probably was not a stroke because I had no, the imaging didn't show anything and the weakness was resolved. The headache got worse. And they decided that it was probably a complex migraine, which at the time they were kind of complex migraine and hemiplegic migraine kind of went hand in hand.
Okay.
But still on this, to this day, my chart says I had a CIA.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So my question, Amber, was going to be how they diagnosed it. Was that because you didn't have the continued weakness?
Or the imaging?
So and the imaging.
Right. So is that the only differentiating thing that diagnoses a hemiplegic migraine versus a stroke?
That's the big thing, is because the weakness wore off pretty quickly and my speech resolved pretty quickly. And there was nothing on any of the imaging to show that there was any clot or anything.
Okay.
So they felt confident in saying that it was most likely, because the headache was still so bad, that it was a hemiplegic migraine.
Okay. And how long does it typically take for your migraine? How long does it typically take for your migraine to resolve?
The migraine itself, that year in 2016, I am not kidding you when I say after that, I had a migraine for 8 months.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. Wait. You had the migraine constantly for 8 months?
Yes.
Oh my
God! With vomiting and nausea, and that was the point when I had to quit working.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
and nothing. There wasn't anything that helped relieve it.
No, we tried everything.
Oh my God!
This was not a hemiplegic migraine. It was just a migraine.
Right. Oh, just a migraine though.
That's horrific.
Yeah.
But for 8 solid months, I went to a hospital in St. Louis at Barnes. I went to a neurologist in Kansas City, and I went to Mayo.
Oh, wow.
And none of them had a really good answer as to what caused it or what to do to fix it.
Oh.
They just kept changing medications. It finally just went away on its own, but it was solid.
Oh,
8 months of puking every day.
Oh, that's terrible.
I want to reach right through the lines and give you a hug.
Yeah,
because you are
now, most of my migraines now will last probably 2 or 3 days.
Okay, and then do you have a recovery period after the fact? After the migraine's over, are you weak and tired? And
yes,
okay.
The hemiplegic portion of a migraine is usually gone within like 2 or 3 hours.
Okay,
if it ever stays around longer than that. I will go get it checked out. At this point, we don't go to the hospital anymore for hemiplegic migraines because we know that they are.
Right.
I've been hospitalized for my migraines probably 6 times in the last 3 years, and each time was at least 3 to 5 days because they found a cocktail that works really, really well.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, that's good. At least they gave you a little bit of a break.
Right.
Basically, they give me medication that puts me to sleep, which in turn resets the clock.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, you're quite the warrior.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Is Amber, do you have migraines running in your family?
Not at all.
Okay.
So you're the first one.
Well,
I'm the first one that has all of the conditions that I have.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Amber, how long have you been receiving the cocktail, and have you ever received any other treatments that seem to be effective?
Emergency meds or like daily meds?
Okay, so you take a preventative and then an emergency medication as well? I want to hear about it all.
In the emergency room, I really hate to go. I think I'm answering this right because I still didn't quite get the question, but I'm going to go with what I heard.
Okay.
In the emergency room, I almost hate to go because I actually have a blog up on my blog about this, but one time I was told by 3 different providers that I would not be getting narcotics. I had never asked for narcotics. I had never mentioned the word narcotics. I just wanted my headache to go away. I had even told them that I hadn't taken my narcotics because they make headaches worse. And you go in with a massive headache, and that's the first thing they think. You want narcotics. I didn't. That's the furthest thing.
Right.
From what I wanted. I just wanted my headache gone.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually we found, through the neurologist, who I recently found out he's no longer with my hospital, and I'm really bummed because he was so good for me. But they had done studies in the ER medicine, especially that ketamine,
mm-hmm.
which is a tranquilizer, essentially, is helpful with migraines to break them. And so I've gotten that a couple of times in the ER. Once that same visit where the nurse told me that would not be happening because that is not a medicine that you give for migraines. And then the doctor came in and was like, absolutely, we will give that to you for a migraine.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was like, but what we really found that works is IV Benadryl. I have no idea why it works, but it's always part of the cocktail and it works. IV Benadryl, IV Thorazine, and I can't think of the other one.
Is it an antihemetic?
What was that?
A steroid.
Oh, okay.
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 Like dexamethasone or Decadron or something.
Okay.
Okay.
Thorazine acts as an antiemetic, so they don't usually give me that. For a while, I got IV DHEA, but it is dangerous if you have any kind of heart issue, and I have a prolonged QT, which probably means nothing to most people. And so they don't give that to me a lot because it can actually cause that to elongate too far, and mm-hmm. that could cause major heart issues.
Okay.
Okay. That's if you get the heart test that looks like a bunch of sharp peaks and valleys along a line, like you picture a heart rate on a monitor, that's what she's talking about.
Okay. And then do you, have you tried Botox for like long term?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I get it every 3 months, and it has helped.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the most helpful, but I still get at least 8 to 10 migraines a month.
Okay.
Wow. Amber, are there any other lifestyle changes help?
Like not going on amusement park rides?
Heat or cold or dark rooms?
Okay.
Yes, not avoiding lifestyle or avoiding amusement park rides is yes. one of the big ones for me, honestly, is avoiding fluorescent light for lengths of time.
Okay.
So, like, if I go shopping mm-hmm. or in doctor's offices or any place that has those big fluorescent lights, if I can't wear my sunglasses or forget them, I can always guarantee that I'm going to come home with a headache.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wear a I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, and you go to the hospital with a migraine, and they've got the lights right over your head.
I wear my sunglasses in the hospital.
Okay.
Smart.
Or my sleep mask.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea, too.
But yeah, I always have my sunglasses on in the hospital.
Okay.
I don't care what they think of me.
Yeah, I always tell them, can you turn the lights off, close the door, tell that person next door to stop yelling, please.
I always love when they put me in a semi-private room when I'm in with a migraine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, terrible.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, really. You know what? We just a side note, Jean had to go to an emergency room out at Stanford because she was hit by luggage in the airplane as we were landing, and so I took her to the emergency room, and I'll tell you, I've gone to a lot of emergency rooms. I have never seen an emergency room like Stanford.
They had 4 people in one room
in a regular
ER room,
a regular room that you would think one bed would be in. There were 4 people. I was butt to butt with whoever was next to me. And you could not sit down. There were not chairs for guests. You had to stand next to the bed. And like I said, I would be rubbing cheeks with whoever was standing behind me. And that's just how it was in every room. And it was so packed. We were there for 7 hours, still not seen. Yeah, it was rough.
It's Stanford.
That's just not okay.
Yeah.
No, this is Lita's, you know, rant hour.
Oh,
sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, I'll get off my soapbox.
Amber. Amber, are there any specific safety concerns for you when you're having a hemiplegic migraine? I was just thinking that if you're walking and you suddenly have weakness on one side, is there a fall risk involved? Okay.
Of course, anytime I'm in the hospital, I'm a fall risk. They don't let me get out of bed without people. But in the home, anytime I start feeling that tingling in my hand, I just know to go back to bed.
Okay.
Should I be out driving or out somewhere,
mm-hmm.
I go sit in my car and call and have somebody come get me. If I'm driving, I just pull over into the nearest parking lot and wait it out. And if I think I can drive home after that, I will. If not, I won't. I actually had an accident where I totaled my car in August of 2017. I did not have a migraine, but they think I had a seizure, and I've never had a seizure before. And I just finally got a car in June. But one of the promises I made to my family was that if I have a headache, I will not drive.
Okay.
Right, right.
Just to be safe, mm-hmm. because it's just not worth it.
Right. And besides the medication and lifestyle changes, does anything else help alleviate your symptoms, like ice or heat?
Yeah. I'm a big believer in ice.
Okay.
Ice on my forehead, ice on the back of my neck. Sometimes I'll chew on ice.
Oh.
Especially if I'm nauseated.
Okay.
It just kind of wets my throat a little bit, but I don't actually have to drink it.
Sure.
A dark, quiet room, of course. My sleep mask is always on. Quiet is a good thing. I also like the room to be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hotter I get, the more the migraine somehow gets worse. I don't know why.
Right.
And then other thing I like is peppermint essential oil.
Oh, okay. And how do you use that? Is it like a diffuser?
I was going to say, I can't seem to get a migraine without being sick to my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And peppermint seems to help with the nausea. So I will put it on my wrist,
okay.
my temples, and the back of my neck. But then I can also infuse it in the room if I really want to, if I want to really just kill it. But usually I just put it on my...
on your pulse points.
And put it on those
right.
places. Yeah.
Okay. Good. That's good info.
And Amber, how have your friends and family helped you when you're having a hemiplegic migraine? And what do you wish other people knew that would... what do you wish they would do when you are having a migraine? How can they help?
My family is great. They're my biggest cheerleaders. They know just to pretty much leave me alone when I'm having a migraine. My mom will check on me. She'll bring me new ice or new ice water. Make sure I don't need anything. You know, make sure it's not gotten worse or that we don't need to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they just leave me alone, which is perfectly fine by me. And my friends get it. If I'm having a migraine and I don't respond for 2 days, they don't get hurt by that. But I do wish people in general, friends included, would realize that it's not just a headache. Oh, you have another headache? No, this is not just a headache.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Yeah, people that have not had a migraine just don't seem to get it.
Right, and that's the biggest frustration for me.
Well, and Amber, could you tell us more about your website, theworldseesnormal.com?
Yeah, that kind of turned into a passion project back in 2017 when I finally quit working and I didn't really have a definite way of where I was going to go. I kind of felt pretty lost. I had to drop out of my master's nursing education program because I got sick and had to quit my job. And so I decided I would start writing. My goal was just to provide support and provide education to people, not just people who are sick, but people's families,
mm-hmm.
you know, provide insight into what we deal with on a daily basis so that people could say, hey, honey, read this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not coming from them nagging, saying, honey, why don't you help me? Honey, you know, it's coming from somebody else. So they might actually read it.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've shared products that I love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of a little bit of a lifestyle thing, but mostly it's chronic illness days. I talk about all sorts of different conditions, how to live with chronic illness, tips and tricks. I just talk a little bit about everything.
Yeah, it's a great resource for anyone with a chronic illness or, like you said, their friends or family.
That's wonderful, Amber. Do you have any other tips or advice for our listeners out there?
I do. My biggest advice is to document, 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 document. your doctor sees you once every 3 months for 15 minutes and has to decide what to do with you. So if you can find a way to document everything that is going on with you and at least show it to him, her, mm-hmm. so that way he can see what's been going on. I actually created a symptom tracker, mm-hmm. pain tracker, which can be found on my website. Well, you can actually, there's a graph that you can chart your pain for the month. And each week there's a place where you can go by body system and say, what's been going on? And you can take those to your doctor's appointment and say, see, this is what I've been dealing with. Mm-hmm. And it's in writing, very plain for people to see. I'm not saying you should diet. I'm just saying that you need to be doing something like that. So that way the doctor can actually see. It's not just you saying, but this is in real time for him to be able to look at your paper and see exactly what's been going on for the last however many months since he saw you last.
That's a good idea.
And the other tip is find a support group.
Okay.
You know, whether it be online or in person, you just need, even if you don't post, mm-hmm. it's just nice to know that you have a group of people who understand what you're going through and can provide information if you need it.
Sure. And you don't feel like you're alone.
Yeah. And I think
that's the big one. You feel like you're all alone in this world.
Mm-hmm. And your symptom tracker is really great, too, because, you know, with migraines especially, sometimes there can be triggers. And if you're tracking your symptoms and keeping, you know, an eye on things, you might realize that some things antagonize or, you know, can start your migraine off. So it's great for,
right.
I mean, it's really just, it's a wonderful tool. Thank you for that. And I want to
thank you.
I want to thank you also for joining us today. How can our listeners learn more about you?
They can find me on my website, obviously. They can find me on Instagram at the_world_sees_normal. So it's the world sees normal with underscores between each word.
Okay.
Kind of a.
And then on Twitter and Facebook at World Sees Normal.
Okay. All right. I'm writing this down.
And we'll make sure we have links on our website as well
right.
to those, to the website and Twitter.
Right. Well, thank you again, Amber, for joining us today. I know that I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners did too.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.